Will the delegates clear the aisles? Thank you. I will. This matter is set for public hearing. I will open the public hearing. We did have a sign-up sheet before the meeting to repeat for those who were here late. We will take the people who signed up first. Everybody will have as much time as they need to speak. However, we're going to ask the people to try to limit their remarks to 3 minutes initially, and then so that everybody has a chance to speak once, and then we will go around the second time for those who feel there is additional information they wanted to offer. Plus, we will allow the people who are speaking on behalf of the interested groups to take a bit longer in their initial presentation. Official record of this meeting is a tape recording. Therefore, we will need anybody who wishes to testify to speak at the podium and identify themselves by name or address, or at least to speak at one of the microphones in the front. That said, we'll begin with the sign-up sheet. The first person is Mr. Pizzillo, speaking on behalf of Citizens for Verifiable Voting.
Thank you very much. It's certainly an honor and a pleasure for us to be able to present to you, as you know, Citizens for Verifiable Voting. My name is Joe Pizzillo, a spokesperson for the group. I've been a resident of Boulder since 1987. Our group has presented to you previously on December 4th, at which time we talked about a number of the issues related to the DRE, Direct Record Electronic Systems. We talked about issues related to, for example, HAVA, and we made very clear at that time what some of the legal requirements under HAVA were, and that you do have the option not to buy DREs, but instead to buy other types of terminals that focus on voter accessibility. Today, we'd like to talk about a slightly different topic, which we're going to call trustworthy elections. And before we get into that, I'd also like to read a little bit. You know that this topic has been in the press quite a bit, and I know that there's a lot of citizen concern that you've been receiving. I'm going to start first by pointing out that we had an op-ed opinion editorial piece in the Daily Camera on Sunday entitled Don't Buy Voting Systems Yet. That's included in a packet of materials that I'll provide to you. In the same newspaper, there was an editorial by Paul Krugman of the New York Times entitled Democracy at Risk. New York Times on the 18th of this month also ran an unsigned editorial from the newspaper that I'd like to read just the briefest little bit of. The morning after the 2000 election, Americans woke up to a disturbing realization. Our electoral system was too flawed to say with any certainty who had won. 3 years later, things may actually be worse. If this year's presidential election is at all close, there is every reason to believe that there will be another national trauma over who the rightful winner is, this time compounded by troubling new questions about the reliability of electronic voting machines. That will also not, that's not actually a part of our submission in the packet, but again, the op-ed piece is, and we'll be happy to provide links to any of the material that we refer to today. If we could turn now to the slides real quick. I'm going to have to apologize a little bit because I didn't really intend to come here today and talk about the HART InterCivic system or the proposal before you, but because of some of the things that I think we've heard here today, we may have to refer to that a little bit. And so while we don't want to talk about the HART system in particular, it may come up. What we are here to talk about is what we're calling trustworthy elections. And we'd like to talk today about the citizens' requirements for trustworthy elections and why we believe that any purchase of any system is unwise at this time. Now, let's start by talking about trustworthy elections and what that means to us. First of all, one of the things that that means to us is that the election be secure and any system used to conduct an election be secure. In addition to that, we expect that the system be verifiable. And finally, in trustworthy elections, we expect the system will be reliable. Again, just to speak to a couple of the items that you've heard today, in terms of security, there was a lot of discussion earlier about certification. You heard a lot about 1990 and 2002 standards. We'll talk a little bit about this in a moment, but I think it's important to point out that many of the security vulnerabilities that you've been hearing about all were discovered after these systems had been certified. I think that's an important point to bear in mind. In terms of verifiability, we're going to ask you to make sure that hand counting, as Linda talked about, is a component of what you do. And in terms of reliability, we'd like to see some of the Canvas Board reports. We understand now that 800,000 ballots were run in Los Angeles. We'd like to see the Canvas Board report for how that election went. Now, let's talk about how the citizen requirements for trustworthy elections mesh perfectly with those the fundamental tenets of a trustworthy election. The first of those is that there be independent investigation. And by independent investigation, we are absolutely not confident and are relying on assurances made by vendors. We would expect that prior to any purchase made in Boulder County, that Boulder County undergoes an independent investigation process of any system to be used here. Furthermore, we require full disclosure of any system to be used in Boulder County, and we have actually offered this vendor an opportunity to provide full disclosure, for which we have not heard a sufficient response, and I have some information on that in the packet. We expect there to be a detailed analysis, for example, this issue of the Canvas Board reports. We've seen nothing of that nature as part of the county's process for making this evaluation, and we're very concerned about that. Furthermore, the RFP that was referred to earlier, when you review that RFP, you'll see that it's approximately 80% about DRE systems and only marginally about op-scan or paper ballot-based systems, which it is, as we understand, something that the county must always provide as part of absentee and provisional ballot systems. Finally, the citizen requirements are that you provide maximum openness, maximum flexibility, and the minimum amount of haste in making this decision. And we're very concerned that some of these issues have not been met, and certainly we as a citizens group feel that they've not been met to the citizens' requirements. Now, let me speak specifically to why we believe that any purchase is unwise at this time. We've heard a lot of talk about standards this morning, and even the vendor admitted the standards have not yet been set. Maybe there are standards that exist, but there are new standards that are in development by federal, state, and we're even proposing local agencies to make sure that these systems meet, again, the citizen requirements. In terms of some of the issues, and we'll talk about lock-in and bundling later in this list, but the standards have not been set for a component of the system that it was discussed this morning that you would be expected to buy. Now, we think that undefined standards in and of itself is a showstopper, and we're not really clear why you would even be considering a purchase in an environment in which the standards have not yet been set. But that's not all. There are six more issues that we're concerned about. One of them is technological obsolescence. For example, in today's presentation, we learned, I believe for the first time, that there's an expectation that you're going to be buying new equipment every few years. That was certainly is not something that we understand, and a lot of the discussion about this has been that our previous voting system lasted for some 28 years, and we have every expectation that when you do make a purchase decision, it's something that we are able to rely on for a long period of time, and if we're not able to rely on it for a long period of time, we don't understand why purchase is even part of the equation. Going on, we've talked about excessive and unknown cost a little bit in our opinion editorial piece, and I'd just like to point out that today was the first time that we've seen specific financial numbers. What we saw in the Colorado Daily yesterday for the first time was a quote from Tom Halicki. Hart gave us an estimate of $670,000. Well, we see that that estimate was a little shy today. And he also goes on to say that we think there could be more expenses than that, and that turns out to be the case. We wonder how many more expenses may turn up before this is done. We believe that there's been inadequate evaluation and inadequate information about the system that you're being asked to purchase. And we can talk a little bit about that if you'd like to, but I think that, again, some of that's referred to. The information that we've seen posted on the website does not speak to an extensive review of an optical scan or document imaging system. We've heard some criticisms of our group this morning, and I'd like to point out that our group has independently undertaken a great deal of research into this topic, and I refute anyone who would like to say that we're somehow not qualified. Our group and correspondents that we're involved with are members of the IEEE committee. At least one member of our group is in the IEEE committee. Two other people in Colorado are members of the IEEE committee that we've been in discussions with. We've also been in discussions with the leading academics in this country who are looking at this issue. And we have some information to submit today from one of them. We've also been in touch with the legislators at the federal level, state level, and local level who are looking at this issue. So our feeling is that there's been inadequate public participation, and we know that because we're the ones off doing it ourselves, and we've got a lot of information we'd like to submit to you. For example, one of our citizen members of our group, has undertaken an extensive evaluation from the materials that we have made have been made available to us through the county's website. And basically, we're guessing. We're guessing at what the system does because, and we'll provide this to you today, you'll see that we've done an extensive evaluation of this system, but unfortunately, in many cases, we've had to make guesses and estimations about some of the information there. I mentioned earlier that we want to talk about lock-in and bundling, and I know that some of this came up in the questions earlier, and I think very astutely on your part. The lock-in issue is a very serious issue. When you buy a system from this vendor, given the frequent mantra of integration that we're hearing from the county clerk's office, what is the likelihood that you'll be able to buy a system from another vendor next year if they have a better DRE or other type of voting terminal system? That would be one of the questions we're asking. Furthermore, the bundling discussion comes in, and this was brought up earlier today, related to the voter registration database. Having looked at the voter registration database, it remains unclear to me what the extensive challenge is that would cost $250,000+ for integration. It's a flat file database, 190,000 records. The greatest challenge that most of the people I know have had with it is that you can't open it in Excel. It's not very difficult to work with. And furthermore, that system's going to be obsolete when the state voter registration database comes online approximately January 1st, 2006. We will have to go through this whole integration process over again to make sure that this system integrates at the state level, and we think that that's a concern. We are pleased to hear about the vendor's experience. It's something that we didn't necessarily have extensive information on. Our understanding is there's only one other county in Colorado using a HART system, and it's our understanding that that's the eSlate tablet system and not an optical scan or any type of document imaging paper ballot scanning system. So these are some of the reasons that we believe it's unwise. Again, we thought the first one was a showstopper, and we had six to add to that. Now, let me tell you what the citizens are asking for. We're not just here complaining, as some may accuse us of. First of all, we're saying no purchase at this time. What we're asking you to do is arrange for the short-term use of any system in Boulder County until the standards have been met and until the citizens' requirements have been met. We're asking for a new RFP. Again, review the RFP for the voting system and make your own estimation of what portion of that RFP spoke to the issue of optical scanning, paper ballots, central counting, and so on and so forth. How much of that RFP spoke to the trustworthy elections question? How much of that RFP spoke to security, verifiability, reliability? And if that was in the RFP, where is the information that shows that the county did a thorough analysis that meets these requirements of the citizens? We believe, and you may be aware, and this is included in the information we'll provide you today, that another vendor that was a finalist here in Boulder County has made an offer to provide their equipment to the county for free at no cost. Admittedly, there would be costs for printing, consumables, almost certainly some other. Again, I'm sure there would be hidden costs involved with that, but the reality is another vendor has offered their equipment for free. We would like to see this vendor offer their equipment for free in a spirit of true competition, and they should match the offer from the other vendor. We've asked for full independent citizen participation. Following our presentation on December 4th, you probably are aware that the county clerk announced on the 12th that they would use paper ballots for 2004. We sent a follow-up to that called a request for participation on the 19th. We heard no response from the commissioners or from the elections office regarding our specific request to participate in this process. And so far as we know, the next announcement about this whole issue came in a press release on January 8th, at which time it was announced that the clerk had reached a recommendation to buy. So we're very concerned about the issue of citizen participation. We are very grateful that the clerk has allowed the level of access. We were full participants in the discussion of DREs, and we would like to point out that we were the ones that essentially brought the county around to deciding paper ballots. Now what we're saying is, don't buy anything. Now, furthermore, we expect that the citizens' requirements, as we've outlined them, will be met by both the county and any vendor that's selected to provide voting equipment for Boulder County. And finally, going back to the issue of disability access and disabled requirements under HAVA, we believe, as we pointed out on December 4th, that, and it has been discussed in this meeting today, and I'm sure you're aware, there is a tremendous amount of change occurring in this marketplace now. The vendor here today announced that they had shown prototype systems, and we're working on new stuff to meet citizen requirements. Well, we have researched this, as I've pointed out, and we're aware of a class of devices that we call vote marking systems. These provide ADA compliance. They speak the ballot in potentially multiple languages. They have all of the benefits of DREs, but the votes are not stored electronically. The output of a vote marking device is a paper ballot that is compatible with optical scan systems, document imaging systems, and so on. And these devices will be ADA compliant and will provide the necessary requirements under HAVA. And that's why we think that you need to maintain the maximum amount of flexibility in making this decision. Now, I want to point out a couple of the things that are going to be in the packet that we're supplying to you today. I've referred to a number of these things, in particular the Avante offer. We have a document from Professor Jones of the University of Iowa called Counting Marked Sense Ballots, in which he goes in at length to explain exactly the issues that have been discussed. And you'll be able to see that he talks about why certain marks may or may not be read or misinterpreted or what have you by these machines. And you'll see that there's an extensive amount of information there. We have an overview that was prepared, an analysis of the Hart InterCivic system prepared by a member of our group, which I again would like to point out is basically guesswork on our part. We have the correspondence with Neil McClure to show that we have asked them for a full disclosure of their system and have not heard a response. We've also asked them whether or not they would produce a vote marking device. We've not heard back on that. We have a document from one of our members, Neil McBurnett, who I hope will speak today as well, regarding disclosure and some of the requirements for disclosure and the need for independent analysis of this system, not assurances by the vendor. We have our citizens' request for participation that I mentioned, which was sent to you on December 19th at the same time it was sent to the county. We have a copy of the slides that we're showing today and a copy of our opinion piece that appeared in the in the Daily Camera, which basically refers to the same title on the screen there, Do Not Buy Any Voting System at This Time. And with that, I'd like to encourage other members of our group who have possibly not signed up to also take time to speak today, as well as other citizens who are concerned about this issue. And I certainly thank you again for the opportunity to present today and would welcome any questions and or yield the floor to anyone else so that time can be kept to a minimum. Or perhaps I should say used most efficiently and effectively.
Any questions?
Well, yeah, to Mr. Pizzillo, you say that they're changing standards. Standards for what?
Well, the standards relate to voting systems. There was some discussion this morning about how the standards are primarily focused on the DRE, the direct record electronic type devices. Those standards and the standards that are going to relate to the statewide e-poll book voting system or voter registration system, those standards have not yet been set. We have members of the IEEE committee, and we've heard from NIST that those standards will not be ready anytime in the next 12 months or so.
The problem I'm having here is you keep seeming to want to bash DREs, and I can understand some of that, but our election staff isn't proposing DREs, so I'm not sure in terms of the system being proposed why those standards would be changing.
Well, the standards, again, relate to the voter registration database and the compliance or the compatibility and integration of our system with the statewide database. And although we are not being told about DREs today, you have heard that you are going to be required to purchase DREs by 2006 approximately. So the standards for DREs are relevant to this discussion, and we feel that those standards are a big sort of dark cloud hanging over this whole discussion. And until that has been resolved, it's not clear to us how any recommendation could be made for a purchase. I may not be the best person to speak to standards. I'm not on the IEEE committee. There are others here present today who I believe are. We are, as we mentioned in December, NIST here in Boulder certainly has a large presence here in Boulder, is expected to be involved in the standards making process. Again, it's sort of our recommendation, if you will, that because the standards don't exist for systems that you're going to be required to buy, given the lock-in issue, are you going to be able to buy a voting terminal, a vote marking device, or a DRE device from another vendor? I think that it's a premature to start down this path without being clear on some of these answers. And I will be the first to admit I'm not necessarily clear on all of these issues, and I've been looking at this issue for months. So I understand the concern.
Well, I think the concern I'm having with the presentation is, would you ever be able to purchase a system? I mean, standards with electronic devices, if that's what happens in the future, will change over time. Does that mean every 2 years release a new system? Because then you would say, well, somewhere in the future we're going to get tied into a particular system.
I think that's an excellent question. It's not clear to us that a purchase may ever be prudent. If the technology, for example, one of the other things you saw is that this system is based on Microsoft Windows. I mean, I don't really know what to say other than they've announced that they're going to end of life the operating system that you were shown that you're about to buy. So what's clear to me is that these systems are all going to become obsolete. It doesn't make sense to me necessarily, and I think that this is part of the evaluation that the county needs to undertake. Is a purchase ever prudent when we know that the technology is changing rapidly, the marketplace is changing rapidly, the standards are not yet set? I mean, there's a number of reasons that we feel that, and what we're asked, we're not even saying necessarily, and part of the reason I wanted to point out the fact that we don't want to necessarily talk about HART, is we're also not saying that the HART system wouldn't meet these requirements. What we're saying is we don't know, and that until we know and until the citizens have had their requirements met, we can't be comfortable with any purchase. I'm not going to say that we will never agree to purchase a system, but we're certainly not going to agree to purchase a system until after this type of analysis has been done. And furthermore, the result of that analysis may be that, guess what, these systems are changing so frequently that buying anything doesn't make sense. You know, we talked about the system lasting 28 years.
No, I mean,
this system
obviously, you know, the previous system, which was failing, and I understand some of the problems writing software. I've written more bugs than a lot of people have written code, so I probably understand better than most. But I think there also has to be an appreciation, aside from your concerns, that a county clerk who's in charge with running an election also has a whole variety of operational concerns. We're purchasing a new system every 2 years, it just may not be viable.
Well, we, for example, would like to see how the system as proposed fits into those requirements, and that's not something that we feel confident that we've seen from the publishing.
I'm going to ask Linda and Tom to respond to your concerns.
Please, I wish you would.
But I appreciate your bringing forward some of the issues here.
Thank you very much.
Further questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and I'll provide this information.
Yes. The next person on my list is Bo Schaefer from the Libertarian Party of Boulder County.
I was supposed to be number three.
Says you're
number two.
Said you are number three, but there was an undervote on number
right.
two.
I see. Yes, for the record, I'm Bo Schaefer, the chairman of the Boulder County Libertarian Party. I just want to make a brief statement that as libertarians, we support citizens getting involved in government. We believe that all citizens need to be aware of what goes on in the government in order to make informed decisions when the time comes. We'd also like to commend Linda Salas and the Boulder County Clerk's Office for not only actively soliciting public input, but actually listening to and using the information that they receive to make their own informed decisions. This is responsible government in action. As libertarians, we plan to support the Clerk's Office in their decision and also plan to continue to participate in this and other issues in order to help make a government that is more responsive to the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on my list is Elaine Taylor.
Elaine Taylor, 4277 Eldorado Springs Drive, Boulder. I've been associated with the Elections Division since before early voting. I'm one of the temporary people they bring in to help with getting out ballots. And I can, my very first experience was punching absentee ballots with the lauded punch card system. I've done a lot of tasks, from helping to mail out absentee ballots to working early voting here at the courthouse to helping prepare the absentee ballots for counting, for helping open the mail election ballots as I did this last November. I have served on the canvas board after the election where we evaluate the judges in the precincts. So in all this time, I have observed the elections routine, the people there, and I have seen how important it is that they want each citizen's vote to be honestly taken, and how important it is to have the paper trail. And I'm very impressed with the Heart Systems paper trail that they're doing it. And I think the having the Duke board be doing their work visibly on the screen so all the other worried people can see that they're doing it right, I think that's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Neil McBurnett, followed by Michael Kaplan.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having this meeting. I'm Neil McBurnett, 4025 Evans Drive, Boulder. I want to talk a little bit more in specific about one thing that is not available to you today and that hopefully will be available in the future, and that's full public disclosure of the source code that makes these systems work. In my opinion, I think our opinion, full public disclosure is the only path to software that and to systems that voters can trust. We repudiate the sneering words of Anastasio Somoza, who said, "You won the election, but I won the count." The question is, how do we do that verification? Consensus is growing around the need for paper ballots, and we're very happy that that's now part of the recommendation in Boulder. That would be required by the Voter Confidence Act, H.R. 2239, and our representative Udall is a co-sponsor of that. But another mandate of that legislation is less well publicized or understood, the requirement to disclose the source code to any citizen.
That's in the Act, you're saying?
That's in the Act. And I'd like to see the Act enacted so that you have more leverage to get what I think will help us all have more confidence. Recent history has shown that even though these systems have been under some scrutiny by independent software firms, they haven't caught the kinds of security problems that were highlighted in a number of recent public disclosures by Johns Hopkins, who reviewed the DIBOL code, and by others who have reviewed in part the HART code. Or some of the HART code. One instinctual notion that people have is security through obscurity, that it would be better to just hide all the things that you're worried about. But our experience, and I speak as a member of Computer Professionals for Social Responsibility, who believe strongly in these ideas, that being open is the only way to get confidence. This is actually what NIST did when they were trying to design a new advanced encryption standard. They didn't rely on the NSA to do some amazing new encryption standard with all their money and resources. They asked the world to design a system in public, open, that could be used for free by anyone, and they came up with a wonderful system that's in use now. Is that a 3-minute?
Yeah,
it is.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to come back and do a little more, but let me just wrap up by saying the Internet has learned that openness is good for security, and we think that all the software ought to be disclosed openly. That doesn't necessarily make it it's still possible to disclose proprietary and copyrighted software and just be assured that no one else will include it in their system, because all the software is verified, so you don't have to worry about people stealing your software. And there are actually systems in use in Australia and being developed in the U.S. that do all of the above.
Well, so let me ask you to speak a little bit more specifically to that, because I think the other side of that argument is, and you know, it's really to me in a lot of ways one of the core security issues here. if you have a, you know, an open source, it means everybody can examine it, which is good, and I think that, you know, the benefit is fairly obvious. It also means that any one of several million very creative people will find it a lot easier to hack the system, I would think. Discuss.
Absolutely, and I go into this more in the full thing that I wrote. The issue I would suggest is that we already have people who are very close to the system who have full access to the code. We have, obviously, the vendor. We have the people who have already reviewed the vendor's code. And, frankly, we have people that get access to code like that whether the vendor wants it or not. And Diebold ran into that full face on. So I think we have to assume, and this is what I'm suggesting modern security professionals expect. They expect that their adversaries have full access to all the code. And we have to assume that because there are a lot of people who do.
Okay.
Neil, and I appreciate what you have to say, generally being a supporter of open source. I would say some of the best security is just not to allow anyone to directly change the code, basically. I think one of the big differences here between us and the internet is if someone has a way, say through email or something, of entering your system, then that's a much bigger problem than the security of the code itself. I think what I'm not, and I can see where this might affect DREs, where you don't have a verifiable trail to see, to actually check what the result was of an electronic count. We've been having electronic counts here for almost three decades now, I assume, by systems that have some sort of internal logical workings to produce that. Someone could change that and change the outcome. I'm not sure, at least with what's being proposed here, since we have a verifiable paper trail to check any outcome, where we would be at a deficit with security here.
One of the questions, I mean, we wish we'd had all the information that was presented today so that we could be more prepared to talk about specifics. One of the issues that comes to my mind, and this is secondhand, and I'd enjoy getting a response from the vendor, but we're talking about this, what's it called, a mobile ballot box? As I understand it, when the vendor was asked in October, how secure is that, it wasn't encrypted, or there were questions about that. So you're being offered a system today that relies on electronic ballots in some sense. Yes, you can go back and recount the whole system, but I think that if the code had been reviewed in the kind of open way that it should be, the people reviewing would have said, you can't do that, and we would have a better system. And so, and that's just one example. I can't promise you that that's a vulnerability that I can exploit. But the question is, when are we going to have vendors that really pay attention to the independent security analyses and seem to take them a little more to
heart?
Well,
I would suggest one thing we can do with any system, I mean, if we purchase it or leased it, that if federal law changes requiring open source, that at that point we would get open source for the system.
I would love to engage in that question. I would suggest that there are companies who are under contractual obligations to not release important libraries or other pieces of the code that would not be able themselves to disclose it because they relied on a sub-vendor who isn't interested in playing that game, whereas another vendor would say, oh, not a problem. So I'm curious why they don't disclose their code, and there are sticky issues that suggest to me that waiting until you can have a fully integrated system that answers all of your questions, that doesn't do DREs but does ballot marking, et cetera, is cheap at this point to wait a couple of years and say, let's get the whole thing nailed down. And have a system. I would ideally like to see an open system, which people are developing now, that you wouldn't have to pay the yearly licensing fees that, you know, there are all kinds of wonderful things, as you know, that come from the open source. And that's a challenge, and I don't know what the timing will be. But this is the kind of discussion that we were hoping to engage in, and hopefully this is the time to start it. I hope, you know, I don't know what the agenda is. I don't know if you're going to try to make a decision today, if you're going to go on to some time in the future. But I hope that these are the issues that you grapple with.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person on the sign-up list is Michael Kaplan, followed by Mariah Conroy. Michael Kaplan? I don't see him. We'll come back to him if he's able to return. Mariah Conroy?
Not present.
We'll go on. Scott Morris.
Good afternoon. I'm afraid I don't have as nice of a prepared presentation as the presentations you've been had the opportunity to hear today. But I'd like to start by thanking you guys for holding this, or the commissioners, for holding this public hearing and being willing to accept more public feedback about these systems. I'd also like to thank Tom Palicki, the Elections Office, the County Clerk, and Hart InterCivic for releasing all the information that they did before this purchase was agreed to. I understand that's an exceptional thing, and it was very useful for those of us who are interested in the system to have the 600 pages or so of material to review. That was very helpful. But what I'm here today to ask you is that you hold off on any decision until we can ask for further information about these systems. As we've been digging through, I'm sorry, first I should, my apologies, I forgot the introduction. Scott Morris, 275 South 40th Street. I'm currently an unemployed software engineer, and as a background, I've also worked as an election judge, and I've followed this issue at the national level for about a year and a half now, but I've only recently, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, become actively involved in this at the Boulder issue. So the county clerk's contention that a lot of us are very new, claiming to have some expertise on this, whether or not we actually do or not, is perhaps valid. I mean, we don't have 30 years of experience with this, but a lot of us do work in the software industry and have had experiences with the difficulties of auditing pieces of software and trying to come to any level of confidence in these. And enough that we're fairly concerned about this. So basically, at this point, as we've dug through the material that was released, we've come to the conclusion that it's a marketing proposal. It's very useful in terms of presenting to a county to try to convince a county to try to purchase one of these systems. But it doesn't actually speak to the details. And in the past, another very valid point was the current system and systems that have been adopted in other counties across the country have not had to live up to the rigor that we're that these systems are being put through right now. But I think with all the negative publicity that these have received in the last year and a half to 2 years, it's very prudent that we do this. Whereas before, it was a very small segment of the population that would have occurred to them that the elections could be tampered with in this way. At this point, like for example, within the more technology or IT worker community, there's been extremely bad publicity on this issue to where to the point where I believe that it'd be prudent to actually do a very thorough evaluation. So specifically the information that we're asking for, my apologies for not getting this to you guys sooner, but the specifics of what I'm asking for were mailed to you last night, and there's probably been drafts that you guys have been exposed to already of what our group is asking for. Specifically what we're looking for is, one, we'd like a much more detailed technical description of this system for the individual components, how they interact, what pieces of data go into which pieces to follow through to look at on the issue of preserving anonymity, for example, for provisional ballots with the system. The actual results of reliability testing. This is actually pretty hard to get out of a lot of vendors, but I think it's very important to try to use whatever leverage you have to try to get these in terms of, okay, these systems were evaluated, and you went through these certification processes, but the actual results and detailed descriptions of the testing criteria and the environment for that have not really been discussed, and we would like for that to be disclosed at least to the county and preferably to the public also. And actually, I should rephrase that. I don't speak for the group. I've been recognized as a dissenting member of the Citizens for Verifiable Voting, although I do participate and assisted in, or wrote one of the pieces that's included in the packet. In addition, I would also like to ask that you require the vendor that's not in the current proposal a very detailed specification of the exact margins of error and the performance rates and that the system will be guaranteed to perform within. And in addition to that, the quality of service they're willing to guarantee and what mechanisms they're willing to take to guarantee that. For example, support issue response times. Like, for example, if all four of the scanners have their firmware upgraded the week before election, and on election day the firmware conks out or something like that. I'm also asking for a very detailed statement from the vendor that is not included in the proposal about what the security requirements are for these systems. Now, I'm sure you've been inundated with mail from all people of all sorts of capabilities in this aspect, but auditing software is an enormously difficult thing. And so what I would ask is what kind of physical security mechanisms would be required to securely deploy the system? Does the system need to be placed under armed guard? Does it need to be manufactured and used in a secure environment similar to how we treat a ballot box with cast votes in it? Since this particular system that's been proposed is basically an application package that's running on top of Windows, and it's very difficult to secure a PC against physical tampering. Therefore, must we assume that anyone with physical access to one of these machines anywhere during the process could tamper with this without in a method that would be undetectable?
Mr. Morris, could I ask you to conclude your initial remarks? You'll get a second chance to speak in the sermon when we do a second round.
So basically, in addition to that, we're also curious about personnel requirements and software verification. This is an enormous, difficult thing, and we realize that. And with the realization that this would probably have a dramatic impact on the cost of actually using this system, I would also ask that the county would be willing to consider using hand counts of a statistically significant sample of the ballots to verify any results from the system before it was certified. This would cost some money, but it may be far cheaper than the other alternatives. So basically, to summarize, what I'm asking for today is, one, that you put off this decision until the citizens that are currently interested in this have further time to request for more information and then review that information. And second, that you be willing to consider this fairly significant change in the border election procedures to have a procedure for verifying the results of any of these systems. And I'd like to thank again you for holding this public hearing, and again, thanks to the elections office and the county clerk for all the information they provided.
Thank you. Next on the list is Marty Walter.
Hi, my name is Marty Walter. I live in the county, 3333 Nebo Road, 80302 zip. You've heard that before. I'm here today to suggest that, or I hope that you do not make any long-term commitments, i.e. purchasing decisions at this time. Point, that was point one. Point 1A, I'd like to say that I've been hanging out with guys with the name of Joe Pizzillo and Neil McDermott and Scott Morris and Al and Neil for a couple of months now, and I would personally attest to their extreme competence in what's being discussed today. If you had to buy their expertise, you'd be paying a lot of money. You're getting a lot of free advice today that's worth a lot of money. Point two, I want to thank you for the paper ballot. Point three, as you may have noticed, the latest Mars Lander, or Spirit, had some significant software problems, and that system had a lot more attention paid to it than any voting system on the face of the Earth. And so it's just the latest example of a complex system having unintended consequences. So with what we know about the systems, I don't think it's time to buy. Point four, secret, private, proprietary software has no legitimate role in voting, which is the most essential public of public processes in a democracy. Microsoft, no, sorry. Point five. You may be setting, and this is very important to me, you may be setting an example that less informed counties may follow. So I think you may be leaders in this situation.
Yes, we may also be setting an example which they will not follow because it's Boulder County. Bear in mind.
No, but I'm quite serious about that because according to
one, we are a light unto the nations for some, and we are considered a black hole for others.
Yes, but there's a certain amount of technological expertise in Boulder County that is not in other counties in this country. And this brings up another point. According to one analysis, if you couple the geographical information system with electronic voting in the last election in 2000, you would get by with altering 20,000 votes in select places across the country in order to determine who was the president. This is just a mathematical analysis. So I really shudder to think about the counties which are not giving the careful attention that we are at this time, because we are one county out of thousands. And I really am scared for my country at this point. I would just like to mention that I have been to several of these meetings, and election judges have been present at these meetings, that was a contradiction to the previous comment. And finally, being a success in Texas is not necessarily a great thing to have on your vita. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going out, but I will be listening. Yeah. Right back.
Okay. Commissioner Stewart will have to step out for a moment. However, he is wired in the office where he's going, so he will be listening to testimony. The final person on the sign-up sheet is Al Kowitz, who is speaking for Citizens for Accurate Mail Ballot Election Results, or CAMBR.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I have a formal statement to deliver, but before I do so, I'd like to clarify one thing that may be unclear, and that is the state of stability with respect to paper ballots. It has been stated by the clerk and also, I believe, by Mr. McClure that the paper ballot is rock solid. It's not going to change. In fact, that is not true. Right now, Rush Holt, representative from New Jersey, has a bill to require paper audit trails to be printed. Senator Graham from Florida, Senator Clinton, and Senator Boxer have bills to require paper ballots, audit trails. Our own Alice Madden, representative, has a bill in the state of Colorado legislature to produce a paper audit trail. What they're proposing is this, okay, as a ballot audit trail. I don't think this is an appropriate medium for this optical counting system that you've been demonstrated today. And
I think
we oppose this.
Like you're preaching to the persuaded.
Right. We oppose this. We are for this. We are for what Mr. McClure is presenting from a technology base, but it's only fair to point out that that is at risk right now. Okay, now, the formal statement that I have to deliver to you. this is from Camber. I'm Al Kolwitz, Executive Director of Camber. We've been very active in Boulder County elections for about 5 years now. Our members have been very active poll watchers and election judges, very well qualified in Boulder process. The clerk has asked you to purchase equipment for voting, and we ask you to deny this request. For the 2004 elections, we ask you instead to purchase use of voting equipment, as the county has for several of the past elections. Our recommendation is based on business considerations and has little, if anything, to do with the merits of the equipment. Frankly, since the clerk has chosen to conduct a paperless evaluation, and nobody will know what is being proposed until it's much too late to absorb, evaluate, and respond to the technical merits, there's no rational basis on which to challenge the technical merits of the proposal, nor is there any rational basis on which to accept them. Camber has tried hard to learn what is being proposed. Failing to obtain any information by way of conventional business communications, we filed an open records request. The response to the request was chilling. As you can see in his January 20 response in your packet, the elections manager tells us that the public is not entitled to the information, and then goes on to tell us that nothing has been written down. Since he's new to Boulder County, the elections manager may not understand the long-standing practice of open government and the fact that Boulder County voters are exceptionally high-tech and publicly engaged. But you understand this, and we hope that you will live up to an unwritten agreement to deliver open government. In our January 21 response to Mr. Halicki, which is also in your packet, we asked questions that surely must be answered before any public funding can be responsibly committed. Surely it is understood that without documentation, the public cannot respond to the technical merits of the proposal. We hope that this is not the intent. Camber has definite requirements for any voting system that Boulder County would consider. At the top level of these requirements is that the voting system must be trustworthy. Trustworthy to the voters and the winning and losing candidates in campaigns. This means that the system must be proven to be secure, reliable, and verifiable. Nothing we have seen today or on the internet documents how the proposed system intends to meet these trust requirements, and no analysis or testing has been documented to prove to voters that good intentions have been fulfilled. Boulder County does need several voting system components for 2004. These include centralized counting of votes on paper ballots, centralized absentee and provisional ballot qualification, which I will insert was not shown to us today and is a serious missing component. And third, ballot and voter tracking, another component which was not shown to us today. These components should be acquired for use on a short-term basis, not purchased. We ask you to reject any effort by the clerk staff to take risk-laden shortcuts. It might appear expeditious to staff for the commissioners to accept the undocumented proposal to purchase equipment, but it would result in years of public distrust in the election system and in elected officials. The people would be left holding the bag. Trustworthy elections are what allow our system of government to work. This trust was shaken in the 2000 presidential election. The legacy of this county commission can and should be that they prudently rejected a proposal to purchase voting equipment until it is demonstrated that the system is trustworthy first and a good business decision. Neither is true of this proposal, so we ask you to reject it. And that is our statement, and I'll answer any questions.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of the sign-up list. I would now call on people who haven't signed up who wish to testify. We will do it by rows. It's probably the most orderly way. Is there anyone sitting in the first row who wishes to testify? The second row. We'll start over here and just work around.
Evan Ravitz, 1130 11th Street. I want to make 3 points. First of all, Commissioner Mayor, you referred to a verifiable paper ballot. And it's nice to have a pile of paper when this is all over. But under Colorado law, that paper can only be recounted the same way if there's a problem or a close election. A recount has to be done by the same method as the original count, which means it's going to be inside that black box there. And unless a judge orders it, you nor I nor anyone can touch those paper ballots. They have to go through that scanner and that black box. So the basic principle of accounting, which is cross-checking, you add it up, you know, down and across and expect to get the same result, is violated, because all you're doing is going through that system over and over and over again, unless an election judge orders that people be allowed to physically touch and count the paper ballots. So it seems like you have this faith that we have a plan B if something goes wrong inside the black box. And without an election judge, without a judge ordering that, it's not so. And this is precisely what happened in Paul's close race with Todd Salomon in 94, was it? And I think you did go to court and never did get the right to touch those paper ballots. So there's only one plan. And if that's going to be that way, then as a former computer programmer, I think you have to have open software so that thousands of people can look at it and say, yeah, this looks good to me. And when the inevitable bugs are found, they're corrected. And there's a great example of this in Australia now, where apparently thousands of people have gone through and come up with open source software that now is used in their elections. So to me, the 600 pages of documentation and flowcharts and, you know, PowerPoint presentations and everything are all irrelevant. Unless we know all the ones and zeros that are inside this box, we know nothing about how our elections are being conducted. And the third point is, with NIST coming out with standards that we have no idea what they'll be, of course it's foolish, as many people have pointed out, to buy something that locks us in to a certain system, especially one that's based on Windows. If I were going to be part of the NIST team, I would say, well, standard number one, no Windows allowed. Or, for that matter, no proprietary operating systems allowed. To have open source, now with this black box, you would have to have Bill Gates release the Windows source code. Good luck. So in conclusion, being as Colorado law now limits us to one method of vote counting, it should either be with open source code or hand-counted paper ballots. Thanks.
Yes, we'll just continue working around row two.
And, Mr. Chair, I do want to state we have speaker systems in the room I was in, so I've been listening to the testimony as I was there. It's okay. Not the restroom, so.
Okay. Mr. Tiger.
crop. The they don't know that you're advertising for your thing, so I'd like to
Paul Tiger, 452 Dixon Street in Longmont. I've both been a member of the Citizens Committee that came together at the request of the commissioners, and Linda Salatin worked in that group. I'm also a libertarian and candidate for Ron's seat. I'd like to say that there are three things that are really pretty important here, and that there's a technical and procedural and a funding issue that we're facing here. Technical and procedural comes from Linda and her group, and the funding comes from you. And I think that Linda actually hasn't been able to answer a lot of the questions that have been posed about what the system will cost and so forth. Really, I think that's really not even in her purview. That's my personal opinion. That's my personal opinion. Man, feel that. and that's up to you. That it was up to the clerk's office to come up with a technical decision. Now, there are procedural issues that a lot of people don't really pay attention to here. A lot of the criticism here has been that there are procedural issues that we work through every day. I work in the clerk's office, and I've learned a lot, and I'm not by no means an expert. I've worked there a short period of time, but I've come to understand that there are very important checks and balances in everything that we do, and we think about it a lot. So it's important that it's not that people understand it's not just some black box, but there are people involved, and people can see when mistakes are made. Joe mentioned that we found out about these various issues after they had occurred in other technical systems, obviously because we have people that look at them and say, boy, that's not right, and we come to a conclusion about what how we can meet those issues and respond to them. In having to do with whether or not people can hack the system, right? While we have motive and opportunity, we have a lot of people who have a lot of motive and opportunity and want to change the system, but do they have access? We have very few people that actually have access. There have been a lot of people who have come before this group and given us a lot of criticisms about whether or not these are workable, whether or not we should purchase this, so forth. The thing is that in the procedures, none of these people actually have been involved in working with it. I won't say none, because I know that there have been a few other election judges who have come forth and said, I have experience and I know that there are these procedures and this is how I feel about it one way or the other. But the majority of the folks are ignoring getting involved. And I won't say ignoring. They're not involved. They don't understand how it works. I'm a proponent of what is occurring here today. I would like to see us either purchase or lease a system. And I don't think that this has anything to do with DRE or any of the other things that it has been tried to have been confused with. And I support both this office and the commissioners in their decision to either lease or purchase this system.
Thank you. Is there further testimony from people in the second row? Second row? People in the third row, anybody who wishes to testify? Yes.
Hello, my name is Paul Walmsley. I live at 1019 14th Street here in Boulder. I want to thank the commissioners first for providing this opportunity for a public hearing. I think it's important. Just briefly to mention my credentials, I've been a computer consultant consulting on system analysis issues and software development for over 12 years. I've worked for clients as diverse as Whole Foods Market, Churchill Downs, and a major New York investment management firm. First, before I start the bulk of what I want to say today, I want to mention that, to the best of my knowledge, and I'd like to see what the county attorney has to say on this, there is no sunset provision for spending HAVA's punch card replacement funds such that they must be spent in 2004. In other words, if a purchase is delayed until 2005 or 2006, there's nothing in HAVA that says that money will not be available. However, the bulk of what I'd like to talk about is actually not related to the purchase versus lease issue or related to the issue of what vendor the county chooses to go with. You've seen in Hart's demonstration today that they're ballot scanning. And ballot counting systems run on a very common operating system, Microsoft Windows. And perhaps you've seen some recent news articles, some as recent as just yesterday, I believe, about security problems with common computer operating systems, problems that can lead to any data on a particular computer, including ballot images and totals, being silently and untraceably changed. Now, let me be clear. I don't want to come off as bashing Windows. This is not just a problem for any systems that run on Windows. This untraceable tampering is currently a problem with any computerized system. So given this reality, what is a county that wishes to protect the sanctity of our election process to do? One could hand count all of the ballots, as Evan Ravitz has so eloquently spoken for. Some have suggested that a full hand count is impractical, both in terms of time and expense. I'm not really in a position to assess that. However, if that is the case, I want to present another solution to that problem. And you've heard it briefly mentioned today, and that is counting a statistically significant sample of the ballots by hand and comparing these results with the output from the computer system. I ask today that the commissioners stipulate, or whenever the commissioners make their decision-making process on this, that every election tally from 2004 on that is compiled by a computer have the tally confirmed by hand counting a statistically significant, or all, of the ballots by hand, and that if any discrepancy is discovered, that the computerized vote tallying process be halted and that a comprehensive investigation be initiated into the reason why the counts do not match. Without an effective means of double-checking the computer tally beyond the standard logic and accuracy tests that the county performs currently, we will always wonder, with every election, whether the totals were silently and untraceably changed. Thank you again.
Thank you. Further testimony from the second row? Third row.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Judd Golden. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Boulder County Chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union of Colorado. At our monthly chapter meeting last night, we resolved unanimously to address this issue, and let me tell you what we decided to do. First, I'd like to say that my experience, as well as the ACLU's experience, is not within the technical issues that have been discussed so eloquently by so many people here. The ACLU's expertise is with voters' rights and the fundamental equal protection issues that involve the franchise that must be extended to all eligible voters. The ACLU has been at the forefront in working to try to guarantee voters' rights since its inception, and most recently our involvements have included the most active litigation position in the state of Florida in the disputed Bush-Gore election, as well as active involvement in the state of California seeking to be assured that antiquated systems in the state of California were not utilized that we felt would disenfranchise a significant amount of people. Having said that, we applaud the commissioners and the clerk's position for having sought a paper system that would provide a reliable physical paper trail that would document the voter intent. This was indeed the greatest concern that was raised by the ACLU in both of our cases, where voter intent could not be clearly determined. There are obviously statutory problems with, in the state of Colorado, with verifying a paper ballot when an electronic system is the way in which those votes are tabulated. And while, and we expect that on the state level we will attempt to address this given the evolving nature of technology, but we must live with our current laws. We think that Representative Holt's bill has some merit, and on the national level, again, the ACLU is considering at least how they will support that legislation. The fundamental principle is trustworthiness and accuracy, not speed. The way that every voter's intent can be determined is by being the assuredness that that vote, as represented by that that electorate, is counted. At this stage, we are concerned that the, as has been expressed by many people here, that the system that is being presented has not had enough opportunity for all interested parties to fully examine it and to provide the kind of public input that we feel is essential to open government to assure that all considerations are being thought through carefully, particularly by these very astute people who are so in tune with the with these electronic and technical and scientific issues. We will continue to closely watch this issue. We will rely upon the input from people who have that expertise. But we again want to say the most important thing is openness and disclosure so all people can consider this, and a paper trail that will assure that there is some physical record of voter intent so all votes are counted and voter intent is realized. Thank you.
Thank you. Further testimony from people seated in the third row. Yes.
Good afternoon. I'm Bob McGrath. I'm with the Coloradans for Voting Integrity out of Denver, and I'm a resident of Arvada, Colorado. I mainly have questions rather than a statement, and these questions are questions that I think the commission ought to address to the vendor and to your commission and to your voting commissioner. First of all, many of these systems are predicated and based upon a Windows platform. Many Windows platforms are being designed to reside upon systems that allow wireless transmissions through Bluetooth or 802.11 and other protocols. You may wish to ask your vendor to guarantee that that hardware cannot be manipulated wirelessly, because that's an issue. Voter fraud has been rampant throughout history, and if someone wants to manipulate a vote, they'll find a way to do it. Secondly, I want to know what the difference is between the traditional ballot box that holds ballots in it and a PCMCIA flashcard that's a virtual ballot box, because ballot boxes disappear sometimes. And if they disappear, and if there's an insider, that insider can have someone working inside a poll that's watching as people mark their ballots, and it only takes a slight few differences called in and switch out cards. So I don't know what safety procedures or processes you may have in place for protecting and safeguarding against the process of protecting that virtual ballot box to ensure that it's always witnessed as it goes through the entire process. And then third, when you look at the process and the definition of verifiable, when you're looking at verifiable, who needs to verify that? In the synopsis I saw with this system, it looks as though the voting official is verifying the voter's intent. Traditionally, what verifiable means is verifying it by the voter, which means that that voter, after they cast their ballot, in many cases around the country, they scan that ballot through to make sure that the machine recorded it the way that they marked it. And in asking Mr. McClure how his system is predicated and how it's proposed for Boulder County, it appears that it's only to be tabulated in a central location, so that voter may not have that opportunity to do that actual verification of their own ballot. If the virtual ballot box is not encrypted, there's nothing to guarantee that there could not be a change in that vote tally between the scanning computer and the tallying computer. Thank you.
Thank you. Further testimony from people in the third row. Third row. Anyone in the fourth row would like to testify? Yes.
My name is Joe Augustitis. I live in Longmont, and I'm just like to give a couple of my views on it.
Okay, could you give me your address, please, for the record?
2031 Diamond Drive in Longmont.
Thank you.
Okay. What it appears to me is that you're looking at is you're buying a shrink wrap piece of software that can run on any generic computer. So I'm wondering why you have all the bundling types of things going. It's like going down and buying Microsoft Office to run on Windows. My other thought was, since this is the first time I've seen this presentation, is that since it runs on a desktop, it opens a lot of possibilities for backdoors, since you don't have encryption on some of the media that you're asking to save all the votes on. And that is a real potential that could happen, even with in full view of election judges. Okay. My other thought was that I don't think we really have enough information yet on how the whole voting process is going to work. I mean, I just found out just at this meeting that, you know, the plans were to have one tallying system in Lama. And, you know, now I'm thinking, well, what if it breaks down? Now, I mean, I'd like to see the whole process defined, saying this is how we're going to accumulate these, and this is the process should certain things happen. And my own, just sitting in here, it seemed like you're going off and buying a system without defining the problem or defining what Boulder County really wants to have. You know, here is the voting process. Now let's find, specify that, and now go out for the equipment and the software and whatever else we need to satisfy that, versus buying a turnkey voting system.
Bear in mind, we have been counting at two locations. Centralized counting has taken place at two locations for some time in Boulder County. The punch cards we currently use are tabulated by a card counting machine, and we have some of those in Longmont.
I've lived here quite a while, and yeah. I guess I haven't been aware of what the whole process is. I don't know if that's published anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'll certainly try to find out where that is. Yeah. But again, I would think that you would have some type of backup, okay, for that type of thing. And in particular on scanning, my own experience is that you probably would like to scan the ballots through two independent paths at both locations and end up with a tally in that manner. And that probably eliminates a lot of misfeeds and other problems that you might occur. And I didn't see that process mentioned anywhere. But it appeared that the ballot be scanned once, and that was the only time it could go. And the other concern, again, is the fact that I think that, as I read the law, you have to recount by the, you can't recount by the paper ballot. You have to use the machine's count again. And I don't know if you're lobbying for changing that law or not.
We are, as a matter of fact. Okay. We're quite aware of that problem.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Further testimony from the fourth row. Anybody else in the fourth row wish to testify? Anyone in the fifth row wish to testify? I will take you, Mr. Walter, but there's at least one other person first. Yes, the lady in the back.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. My name is Troy-Ann Thigpen. My husband and I live at 1468 Franklin Avenue in Louisville. And I've worked in the election office as a temporary worker during several elections, and through that, my husband has become interested. He couldn't be here, but he asked me if I would come and read this statement that he prepared. My name is Harvey Burkett, and I am a computer system architect. I design, test, and deliver large hardware and software systems. I have a Master of Science degree in computer science and have worked for over 20 years on federal and commercial systems of various types. All of the systems that I am familiar with require security, reliability, and verifiability. No customer would accept a system that did not meet their written specifications for these provisions. I reviewed the information available on the web regarding this proposed purchase and found no mention of security, reliability, or verifiability. The system in question was certified and tested to minimal generic standards. The certification letter says that only regression testing was done following significant system repairs, which implies that they only retested the problems that were fixed and not the whole system. The problems that were recertified indicated little system maturity and were significant problems that should never have been delivered to a customer in the first place. This calls into question the confidence and reliability of the vendor and its product. Why weren't those problems discovered in previous testing? In what ways were such problems discovered and addressed? In what way will future problems be discovered and addressed? In the middle of counting votes or after a giant election snafu? As a seller or vendor, it would be wonderful to be able to say that a minimal set of requirements has been met and then ignore the fact that the system may not necessarily meet or satisfy provisions for security, reliability, and verifiability. I have never worked with a customer that would accept such a system. The information provided on the website appears to be marketing information and is not very useful for technical evaluation of the system or how it will perform. As one who is knowledgeable in these things, I can say that it appears to mask a lower level of technical information and understanding. The impression from a technical standpoint is that neither the Secretary of State nor Boulder County Clerk have a good idea of what a good system is. To my knowledge, no one has yet introduced any computer system anywhere that did not have some bugs to be worked out. Regarding systems, it is early in the development of voting systems, and as pointed out above, this particular voting system has already demonstrated a lack of maturity. In my experience, any claim of a perfect system can only be true if specifications or requirements are lacking, which in effect appears to be the case. I ask you, the responsible county officials, to delay purchase until a county is able to specify its technical requirements and until a system is found that has been proven to meet the requirements of functionality, security, reliability, and verifiability. We cannot afford to buy a pig in a poke, either in dollars or in votes. Thank you, Harvey Burkett.
Thank you. Further testimony from the back row. Just a moment. Is there anyone here who would like to testify who has not yet testified? Seeing no one, Mr. Walter, and then we'll ask if for people who might have a second shot at it.
I've lived here 30 years and I've never done this twice before. This is the first. I'm a mathematician, as you well know, and whenever you're doing a complicated calculation, it's obvious that you should do it in two stochastically independent ways and see if you get the same answer. This is prohibited by state law. The state law must be changed. And so I would like to second gentleman, yeah. I believe his name is Paul.
Yes.
His comments, cost is a consideration here, but statistics is a very well-defined mathematical science, and so you can double-check the black box, as it were, with counting every tenth vote, or it depends on what the circumstances. By hand, you can do it economically, and I think this is extremely important given the fact that I've read in the papers that exit polling may be done away with by the media, for example, and then we'll have no basis whatsoever. So thank you very much.
Yeah, we are very aware of that, and earlier this year we discussed asking our lobbyists to approach the legislature and see if we could find someone to carry a bill on precisely this point. You are really preaching to the choir here, right. And I might add personally that having been in an election where this was an issue.
Four votes.
The good news is the jurist who ruled adversely in that case is off the bench. The bad news is he is off rewriting the legal code of Egypt, which does not bode well.
Learn something new every day.
Yes.
So please lead the charge.
Yes. Is there anyone else? I can see that several of the people are here. I'm going to take it in order. Mr. Pizzillo, would you like to, do you intend to testify again?
We would yield to the, any other questions that you might have for the county relevant to testimony you've heard, but I would be happy to speak on a few points.
Okay. But I know at some point I'm going to want to have the clerk and her staff respond.
Okay. I would like the people in the audience, Mr. Tiger and then Mr. Kollwitz.
This noise before.
Okay.
It might happen again.
Yep.
I just wanted to say that I do actually have a concern, and that was one of the things was about Ballot Now. Ballot Now seems to me, and I may be, uninformed, I have been before, is that unless these machines are all wired together, essentially Ballot Now gives you the opportunity to vote anywhere. You could vote in any precinct, if that's allowed. But the machines would all have to be wired together. If you can produce a ballot for someone at any location based on you know what their ballot style is, means you know where they're from, then you could produce it in any precinct. But the problem is if the machines aren't wired together, then you don't know whether or not.
When you say that, Paul, the machines aren't wired together.
The precincts aren't wired together. Here's what I'm talking about. Classic Chicago thing, all right? I'm driving from precinct to precinct, and I'm voting. Okay? What's to prevent that? And that, I do have a concern with that. And I'm sure that there's a procedure that we can come up with, for example, only giving the smart pack or whatever it is, the information about a precinct to that precinct and not have people vote anywhere. So there are certainly security issues that I think that can be responded to with humans and procedures and have been before. Now, we've had computer tallying for a long time, 27, 25 years, something like that. And why is this any different? Yes, we have some different software. Yes, let's address those issues. But we've had this all along. Now, are we just suddenly suspect of it? I just wanted to address the 2239. H.R. 2239 is not an act. It's a legislation. It's a bill that was a House bill, and a House resolution, and it actually is not law. So I heard it being called an act a few times. Statistical analysis is something that goes on anyway. We'll take a bin, a tray of votes, and count it, hand tally it, and compare it, find a start and stop point. That's going on. So I urge, of course, that we continue that. And I wanted to say to all those people here that think that it's really awesomely bad that all we can do is count the same way that we voted, or count the same way, recount is the same way that we change that legislation, I invite people to join the Libertarian Party, which has actually been trying to do that for some time. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Kollwitz, I think you're next.
This will be very, very brief. One component of the voting process, the election process, was discussed by the vendor today, and that is the process of counting the votes. There are many more processes. One abstraction might be six: voter registration, ballot preparation, ballot control and voter control, absentee ballot and provisional ballot qualification, and vote counting. I may have missed one in my vote marking, of course. Vote marking is off the table because we're marking ballots by pencil. Vote counting has been described somewhat today. There's a whole bunch of other parts that aren't included in this proposal. And if you haven't funded them, we're going to have a failed election. One part that I'm most concerned about as you could guess, is absentee and provisional ballot qualification. You might recognize that as the process of verifying the signature on the absentee ballot, the process of verifying that the absentee ballot that was returned by the voter is in fact the correct one, because somebody might want to support Mr. Danish's future commissioner position by taking ballots that they find in the trash and just inserting them into the Danish candidate replacement, even though they don't live in that district. They might live in Ron's district, for example. So ballot qualification is an incredibly important part of this election. Probably 20% or more of the ballots are going to come in that way. That isn't even on the table. So I ask you to find out, what about the rest of the system? How much is that going to cost? And where are those components going to come from?
Thank you. Further testimony. Anybody else wish to speak? Yes.
Well, I'll yield this decision first.
I just want to make a brief point on one of the issues that's been brought up a few times here, which is the security of the mobile ballot box. Most of what we know about the security of the mobile ballot box, or indeed of the HART system in general, is based on a few minutes of question and answer that was done back in October during HART's presentation to the county clerk. That and a study that was actually done for the state of Ohio by an independent firm. I don't know under what conditions. It's important to note that while we've spent probably thousands of hours jointly trying to review these systems, those really are the two sole sources that we have to review any technical details for the HART system. And so when we talk about documentation being available or unavailable, it's true that the clerk's office has done a very good job of making the RFP, the HART's response to the RFP, available. But for whatever reason, HART, and in fact many other manufacturers also, have chosen not to release technical details, including source code, but even just technical descriptions of their systems to the public. So I hope that the commissioners take that into consideration when they're listening to some of the descriptions of these security issues. It's just been very difficult to really determine what's going on.
Excuse me, could you give your name for the record again? Because
certainly. My name is Paul Walmsley again.
Thanks.
Thank you. Further testimony. Further testimony. Going once. Okay, Mr. Pizzillo.
Thank you again. My name is Joe Pizzillo, and for the record, I live on Floral Drive at 2110, where I've been for the last 7 years. One thing I failed to do earlier that I'd like to take a moment to do now is to thank the citizens of Boulder County who've been so involved in this process. And I've heard several mentions of this in testimony after my presentation or after the presentation of our group. And I think that it is a very important point to emphasize, is that the Boulder County is benefiting from a tremendous amount of expertise being provided at no cost. And I'd also like to bring this into our discussion about what we believed was an alliance that we had with the county clerk's office. Again, after our presentation here on the 4th, the county clerk's office announced that they would go with paper ballots. And we were very grateful for that. And we had discussions with the clerk's office at that time about turning some of our volunteer efforts into volunteer efforts to help conduct the election in 2004. And I'd like to make it clear that our group is still ready, willing, and able to provide volunteers to help Boulder County with the elections process in 2004 and beyond. One thing that keeps coming up is this, you know, well, we've been having electronic counts for 28 years. We've had these controls for 28 years. We've been doing this for decades. Well, I would only like to point out that the thing that has changed is year 2000 Florida. As I mentioned in the comment I read earlier, that is what's changed. America received a rude wake-up call that we can no longer automatically trust our elections processes, our election systems, and certainly the vendors of these election systems. And I think that's something to take into consideration. The reason that there's so much citizen concern is that now we realize we need to be concerned, and that's why you're seeing the citizen outpouring. I would like to also suggest that we had hoped that we would be working with the clerk's office on making changes to the law, and we'd had discussions with them about that. And that's why, to me, it's somewhat puzzling that the citizens were not invited to participate in making this decision. On December 4th, we were told that there would be a full public hearing into this issue. If this is that hearing,
then why are we talking about a recommendation instead of receiving all of this testimony and going through the many excellent questions that both the commissioners and the public have? That, to me, seems like that should be part of the public hearing before we get to the point that we're discussing a purchase recommendation. And I think that that's basically a big part of it. And in terms of the experience that our group has had, I've served as a poll watcher. I'm ready to volunteer for the 2004 election. And I think that the experience that I had as a poll watcher and that other members of our group had is that we want more scrutiny of what is happening in elections. And that is what we're asking for. And that's why, again, I'd just like to reiterate that until you've received the extent of the citizen involvement, questions and so on that you're hearing today, I think that it would be premature to make a purchase decision. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further testimony? Further testimony? Going once. Going twice. I will close the public hearing. Now the evening is young. I believe that our practice in hearings of this sort is to give the people who made the initial presentation an opportunity to comment on the testimony. They do get the last word in this matter, or we do up here ultimately. And then we will have some questions for them as well, I'm sure. So, Madam Clerk, would you like to testify?
We need to take a very short recess before we go on.
Okay. We'll take a 5-minute recess, which will give us a chance to change tapes and other things.
It would be nice to be able to hear the responses.
Well, I'm afraid that at this point the general practice is that the advocates do, since they get pretty well hammered in these things, they get a chance to respond, and you got to stop this someplace. I mean, as you can see, these hearings tend to become symphonies. Well,